This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Her Vantage, the show about women of influence and leadership. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me on the phone today is the founder of the Social Founder Network, Caroline Deal. Caroline is currently based in the UK, so we actually have her on Skype at the moment.
So currently I am chair of the UK TV channel, which is called Together TV, which we'll talk about later. And I'm also the founder of a new network, global network, for founders of social enterprises and charities. And it's called the Social Founder Network, or Social Founders.
Brilliant. Speaking of social founders, I think we will focus a bit more on the Social Founder Network for the purposes of this interview. How has the Social Founder Network been coping in the past few months?
A lot of our founders are trying to cope with COVID, cope with providing their services with, you know, being locked down, whether they're in Colombo in Sri Lanka or in India or in the UK. So it has been really, really difficult. But at the same time, there's been an extra need for all their work. So they're all becoming really brilliant at doing digital stuff and being very creative and imaginative around, you know, getting masks for their communities and distributing food. Obviously, there's a lot of hunger around the world at the moment. But also education. I could go on for ages.
Yes. Yeah, I think definitely there are a lot of causes that need a lot more attention in the past couple of months than ever before. And the Social Founder Network is designed to connect all kinds of social founders from across the world. As you mentioned, it's a global network. So how have you progressed in the past few months? I must imagine that a lot more connections have been made online.
We've been doing lots of connections, but I've also actually, just before the coronavirus hit, I was recording a lot of podcast interviews, and we've just got the first one up, soft launched. So I've got 12 interviews, long in-depth interviews with founders recorded, where they talk about their founder journey. Because the whole purpose of the network is to really support people with that process of being a founder. From when you first get an idea and the fire in your belly to try and set something up and answer a need that's out there that you've identified and you've come up with a solution. So how do we support people from the very, very first twinkling of an idea to the different stages of being a founder? And my podcast interviews look at those different stages. And so that's really what I've been concentrating a lot is on the podcast interviews and making sure that they're really good and getting them ready for launch.
I find that so fascinating that you have turned your attention to facilitating conversations and providing guidance in a way for those who are looking to also become social founders or to shine a light on those experiences. What would you say is one of the biggest obstacles of becoming a founder of a social enterprise?
I think there are sort of two or three. The first one is that people still don't really know about or understand what social enterprise is. It's a new concept, and it's quite a confusing concept because it's a kind of hybrid between pure charity, where you're just giving or facilitating other people to give, and a business. It's both brought together. So people talk about the difficulties of the double bottom line. Instead of just thinking about making profit or just thinking about donations and doing good, you're trying to do both, which is really hard. So I would say the first hurdle is just making it clear to people that this is an exciting route that they can go down, particularly young people who, you know, want to earn a living. They don't want to just be sort of giving away their money or anything, or just they want to earn a living, but at the same time they want to do good. And social enterprise is a really exciting route for that, but they don't know about it. So that's hurdle one. And I'm hoping that my podcast series and the network as a whole will help promote the concept of being a good founder. So if anybody just looks for social founder stories, they pop up on Google Podcast, on Apple, iTunes. Mm-hmm. The first episode's up now.
Great. And you mentioned a couple of other hurdles as well?
So I would say that the next thing is the getting the initial investment or being able to bootstrap, which means basically pay for it yourself. again, it's more difficult to get investment into a social enterprise because it is this hybrid thing. It's not going to necessarily attract purely commercial investment because it's not purely commercial, nor is it necessarily going to attract a pure charitable donation because it probably won't be set up as a charity. It may well be a hybrid structure. Social entrepreneurs need to go out and find different routes to getting their first startup funding. And they seem to do this best in two different ways. One is through sort of crowdfunding, Kickstarter, Crowdfunder, all those different online fundraising models where you can either ask for donations or you can ask for community shares. Or you can ask even for community ownership of the project that you're setting up. So we did that, for example, with Together TV, the TV channel in the UK. We launched a crowdfunder selling community shares in the channel, and we raised nearly £500,000 in 6 weeks for community shares. So, yeah, getting the money in from either crowdfunding or impact investors is really, really difficult. A lot of social entrepreneurs do what other classic startups do, which is bootstrap. They will set up their project as a side project. They might be working as a teacher, they might be a student, they might have retired because some social entrepreneurs are older. They might be working in a supermarket, they might be doing anything. And on the side, they'll be starting to set up their social enterprise to get it to a stage where they can attract funding. But that's the second biggest challenge, I'd say. So awareness of the concept and the structures that you can go through, then the funding. Then, do you want me to go on?
I'm sure there's plenty more obstacles to talk about. Yeah. But what I wanted to ask as a follow-up to that is you mentioned, you know, the big challenge of that double bottom line earlier. And with the COVID-19 hitting the world, there has been a massive economic impact on many, many businesses. How would you say that's had an impact on how you might approach running a social enterprise in the present day?
Okay, so I think there's two or three things. One is that digital, you have to be able to promote your product or your services through digital and sell through digital. So there's been a lot of people already were doing that in a very sophisticated way. But a social enterprise that perhaps is small and hasn't got quite round to selling its product through digital has to do that. And mobile is absolutely key, particularly if you're trying to sell in Asia, for example, or Africa, where mobile is the way that people purchase anything. Also using digital for communication. So using digital for online education, for communicating generally, for providing support, help, resources, advice, whether it's domestic violence, phone lines. And I'm including phones when I say digital. I think we sometimes think too much about laptops, but just ordinary text and telephone is really, really important in the time when we're all locked down. And then I guess there are the brave social entrepreneurs who are in the community doing face-to-face work. So I don't know what it's like in Malaysia, but in the UK, food banks have just gone crazy. So there's a lot of food distribution going out around in the UK, food parcels, meals, and that's for everybody. It's for, you know, all the health staff, the NHS staff, whether they're consultants or whether they're nurses or whatever. They don't have time to go to the shops after their terrible, exhausting 12-hour shifts. They can't get home easily because of public transport issues. And so if somebody through a social enterprise is providing them with a cooked meal or a box of food, that is really fantastic for them, let alone for people who are living in poverty.
Right. So would you say, as a result, that you have seen a rise in either the activity or the existence of social enterprises in the past few months?
Some have gone under, some have gone bust. But on the whole, I'd say they've been incredibly entrepreneurial because that's the mindset of the founders and the people who work in the social enterprises is entrepreneurialism. So they've been able to respond super fast. They've been brave, all the true characteristics of social entrepreneurs. They've been very brave. risked their health and their business to deliver services to those most in need. But I think the most exciting thing is that people of all ages and backgrounds are coming up with new ideas to solve issues in their communities and to provide support in their communities. And that's their local communities, but also things that they've seen on television, in the media, in other countries as well. So it's been a great time, a real catalyst for people wanting to give back, wanting to do good, wanting to change the world. Mm. You know, and we've seen that in the really huge issues like Black Lives Matter as well.
Yes,
the demonstrations
course.
All over the world where young people of all backgrounds, black and white, have come together because they are determined to create change. So this is, for me, a really exciting time. I think we'll look back in history, we'll see this as a tipping point for social enterprise, for social entrepreneurs, for social founders, people who want to found an organization, to set up an organization that's going to do good and make change happen in the world.
Right. Well, we'll have a short break for some messages, but after that, I'll continue speaking to Caroline Deal about encouraging the rise of social founders and, of course, her own two-decade-old social impact endeavor, which is Together TV. So do stay tuned to her Vantage on BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Vantage, the show all about women of influence and leadership. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm speaking to Caroline Deal, who is the founder of the Social Founder Network, as well as the chair, I believe, of Together TV in the UK. Before the break, we introduced what the Social Founder Network was all about and talked a little bit about the impact that the pandemic has had on social enterprises globally, as is the Social Founder Network's focus. But, you know, I did want to ask one very strange advantage that a lot of people have received because of the pandemic is time. A lot of people who are working from home or who may have had other employment changes have now been able to take a step back and reassess their priorities and maybe embark on new endeavors as well. Do you think a number of those people are the people who are becoming, you know, entrepreneurial and taking to becoming social founders?
I hope so. And I think that people are going to be inspired by the drive to create social change, and hopefully will see stories of other social entrepreneurs through projects like the Social Founder Network, and be inspired to make a change happen. I think the pandemic has shown up so many gaps in our society, whether it's, you know, inequality, hunger, transport issues, pollution. I mean, the stories of people, you know, seeing blue skies for the first time, or the stories in India of people being able to see the Himalayas for the first time in their lives from their cities, things like that, let alone the just having nice air to breathe. So, yeah, I think there's all sorts of issues that are going to drive people to say, we don't want to go back to our old world exactly as it was. We want to take the best of what's happened right. in this terrible pandemic and put solutions in place in a more structured way. And that is often by setting up an organization that's going to deliver change, campaign for change, sell new products, that sort of thing.
Right. I mean, have you noticed a sort of shift in consumer awareness and possibly even preference from, you know, purely for-profit businesses towards social enterprises as well? Because another thing that I think a lot of people have been able to do over the course of the lockdowns globally is really assess how they consume things. Would you say there's been a sort of transition into that?
I don't know of any actual statistics, but I've certainly seen a lot of stories around of people buying different kinds of food, people consciously stopping buying as well. There's a lot of debate around the consumer society and how, you know, we're buying stuff that we don't actually need. There's also, I think, people have had the time to see and understand what's happening globally as well. So they're not just heads down trying to keep their households going and their kids going and their work going. They've actually had a chance to understand and read about and watch issues, you know, around the environment in the rest of the world, or poverty in the rest of the world. So I think there's a global understanding. The planet feels very small suddenly. We're all across around the world, we're all coping with the same issue, which is the pandemic, which is coronavirus. So it's connected us globally in a way that we haven't been probably since the last World War. and that wasn't a nice connection. And then I think digital has had a real boost. So, for example, there's a wonderful social enterprise, one of my favorite ones, called The Good Market. It's based out of Colombo in Sri Lanka. And it is actually both a digital and a face-to-face marketplace. But the digital marketplace is a website that has this collection of amazing social enterprises that sell products, from, you know, beautiful essential oils to shoes made out of bamboo to food that's grown organically. And they used to be just a digital marketplace for social enterprises in Sri Lanka, but they've gone global. And they've been able to go global very fast. So I think the combination of digital and our global awareness that the pandemic has driven is very exciting for new kinds of social enterprise that are driven through global sales and global products and global services and global awareness.
Right. One point that you mentioned before the break was that you talked a bit about how the demographic is slightly skewed towards young people becoming social entrepreneurs. Why do you think that is?
I'm super inspired by Gen Y or Gen Z, the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds as well. They seem to have a new awareness of injustice. They want to make change happen, and they are incredibly innovative and entrepreneurial. And they're also, a lot of them are digital natives, so they have the sort of inbuilt ability to make something happen very fast and to scale it very fast. But more than anything, I think it's a generation that is determined to try and stop injustice and to minimize inequality and to make change happen. I've got a lot of putting a lot of hope in young people. having said that, I actually also think there's a new generation of older people, you know, 50 plus, 60 plus, who potentially are going to live for decades, a lot of whom are quite well off and comfortable. I mean, a lot aren't, obviously, but a lot of people all around the world of that sort of 50, 60, 70-year-olds are financially okay, don't have a lot of pressures anymore, they don't have kids to look after, they don't necessarily have big jobs. And some of them have got access to money, you know. So I think that there should be a campaign to get that age group setting up social enterprises as well.
Yes.
It'd be quite exciting. I think it's in our DNA to be social entrepreneurs, and we need to find a way to release that urge and to make it easy and to get the excitement of setting up your own business, but a business that does good, shared more widely.
Right. Well, speaking of people's own businesses, that's a great segue to my next question. You run the Social Founder Network, but you are a social founder yourself. You have Together TV, which is a UK-wide broadcast TV and digital channel dedicated to social action. And this started in the year 2000. Talk to me a little bit about how Together TV has been coping throughout the lockdown.
Well, amazingly, we've done really, really well. So, it is primarily a conventional, old-fashioned broadcast television channel. It reaches out into every home in the UK 24 hours a day. It's free. Anybody can watch it. And because people have been locked down, guess what they've been doing? They've been watching telly and watching stuff online as well, obviously. So our audience just went crazy at the height of the epidemic. It went in March and April. It went up 35%. It's gone down a little bit now, but we've still got a 25% increase in our television audience compared to pre-epidemic. And that is really good for our double bottom line, because like all social enterprises, we are trying to do two things. One is we're trying to create social impact, which we do through the content, the awareness. We connect people with organizations in their communities. We try and persuade them to turn the telly off, actually, and go into their community. But our second bottom line is that we've got to be financially healthy. We've got to make a profit. We've got to have a reserve. We've got to make sure we don't go bust. And our advertising income has done really well because our television audiences have gone up so much.
Right.
So for us, it's been, obviously we don't want the pandemic to happen at all, but it's been very good for the visibility of our channel.
Right.
And financially it's been okay as well.
And of course you have, you know, your own digital presence as well, because before the pandemic hit, you had a global reach of 45 million on Facebook. Has that also increased as well?
Yep, the Facebook audience has really increased. Our big challenge now is to make the Facebook presence more interactive.
Mm.
I would say that's what I'm saying to my team. You know, we've got this amazing, well over, you know, it's a millions of global reach, and it's the only way that we are global actually, because our television channel is very UK based and broadcasts just right. in the UK. So the Facebook partnership is really, really important to us. But our next thing is to get people commenting, engaging, setting up groups, really talking to us. So one of the things that we did in the UK with Facebook for the pandemic, which we're still doing, is that we set up a UK-wide network on Facebook for Together TV of all the community, what they call mutual aid groups that were set up in the pandemic.
Right.
I don't know what happened in Malaysia, but in the UK, it was quite unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So in every little tiny community, in every sort of few streets in the cities, people set up what were called mutual aid groups, which were, as I said, like earlier, delivering food to people who couldn't get out.
Yeah, we had like something that. Very similar happen in Malaysia as well.
It is incredible all around the world, isn't it? It's amazing yeah. how just that people have just stepped up to help. So they're collecting prescription medicines for people who couldn't get out. They're just doing everything and anything, helping with childcare, just being on the phone to people. So here they were sort of generally called mutual aid groups, but and people were finding their mutual aid groups through digital. But a lot of people aren't online in the UK. I don't know what the percentage is in Malaysia, but it's something like 20% here still are either not online or just not really knowing how to use digital very much. So the fact that our television channel was reaching into every home in the UK, irrespective of whether they are digital users or not, meant that we were able to reach people and signpost them through telephone, text, WhatsApp, things like that, to their local mutual aid group.
Right.
So, yeah, so we've basically set up through Facebook this incredible network of groups all around the UK.
Wow.
We use Facebook, but Facebook also are a partner. So they support us with donated advertising, which helps us really reach very widely.
Yeah, that all sounds really fantastic. Unfortunately, we do have to wrap up the interview. But from what I understand, if people want to get in touch, they can go to your website, which is www.socialfounder.org.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a Twitter at Social Founders, and of course your Facebook that we just talked about, which is a Social Founder Network. And you also mentioned obviously your podcast, which is just launched. So that is called Social Founder Stories. And what platforms can that be found on?
So Social Founder Stories is on Google Podcast, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and all good podcast platforms.
All right. Well, that was Caroline Deal, founder of the Social Founder Network and chair of Together TV in the UK. I'm Christine Wong, and you have been listening to Her Vantage on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.